We're going to be talking on the gifts of healings in the series of the gifts of the Spirit. As I read just a little bit ago, Isaiah 53, verse 4 through verse 7, and as the video we just watched, it drives it home that by His stripes we were healed. And I'm hoping tonight we not just touch on the gifts of healing, but the difference between the gifts of healing, healing that's been given to all believers, and even what God built into the natural body for healings. So there's going to be three parts here. Pastor Larry Ollison calls it the parallel flow. He mentioned that the other night when we were in ICFM, the parallel flow. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Spirit that's been here tonight, this sweet Spirit. And I pray every heart, I know is already open, but every heart be open, the ground fertile and ready to receive the Word that's going to be planted in it. Lord, I praise You that You're going to watch over this seed of the Word that's going to go into our hearts, and it's going to be mixed with faith. Each of us a purpose in our heart that will mix it with faith, and that faith will cause that to grow into a bumper crop within our lives. Lord, I pray for wisdom and understanding that as I minister this, that I do it under Your anointing. Lord, Your Word is already blessed. I ask You to bless these lips that I share the counsels that You have put into this Word in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Our first scripture tonight is actually one that we've said each week, or a portion of it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and verse 9. So I'm going to jump over verse 8 because of the target tonight. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's not for the individual. It's for the profit of all. And verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Last time we talked on this, we talked on the gift of faith. This time we're talking on the gift of healings. The definition of the gift of healings, according to Dr. Ollison's book, Unlocking the Mysteries of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, he has it for sale. It's not here for sale, but you can get it online. I'm sorry, we were at so many ICFM meetings, they always had somebody up there with the book doing the Vanna. This is for sale, this is for sale. So I just thought I'd throw that in. Anyway, in his book, Unlocking the Mysteries of the Holy Spirit, he defines the gifts of healings as, these gifts of healings are to deliver the sick and afflicted and to destroy the works of the devil in the human body. Now, there's a difference between the human body has healing properties that God built into it, and the laying on of hands by any believer, and we'll talk about that, and see them healed, and then the gifts of healing. And so there's different pieces to it. The natural process in our human bodies, when you get sick, a person gets sick, maybe they have a cut or they have something that causes an infection, white blood cells rush to that area and start capturing it. Capturing the stuff that's infecting and invading the body. That's a defense mechanism. If there's a cut, platelets go to that spot and start closing the wound. If there's a broken bone, there's immediate bruising. That's because blood has rushed to that area, out into the tissue. And if you saw how the bone resolves, what happens is the blood actually goes all around that broken spot. Once that bone is realigned, it can resolve by building new bone and then taking away all of the extra blood tissue that happened to be around there to where it's back to looking like the same arm, the same bone. The body will go and do some healing on its own. Bacteria. You know the reason where so many people don't have a problem with a bacterial invading their body now is because of antibiotics. An antibiotic does not do a thing for your body. What it does is it thins the wall of the bacteria that your body's fighting so that your body's natural defenses can attack it and kill it and get it out of you. So when you're taking an antibiotic, it's not doing anything to you. It's going and pouring gasoline on those bacterial cells so that its hard outer surface gets thinned out and your body's defenses that are fighting it has a better chance. So some medicines that came from the kind of plants and things out there come from the herbs. God said they're for us. So there's some things out there that you can take and it's not causing a problem. So don't say, I believe in divine healing. I don't believe in doctors. There's wisdom. And we'll talk about that. But your body's already trying to fight that bacteria. You know, when you get a fever, you've got a bacterial infection, you get a fever. Do you know what your body's trying to do? It's trying to turn the furnace up because bacteria can't live in that high temperature environment to help kill it. The problem is sometimes that infection is so bad, we get such a raging fever, we have to get our temperature down because it can harm our own body. Our body will fight the invader to the point that we kill ourselves. Your body was designed specifically by God with all this inside it. When I took my paramedic classes, eons ago it seems, I'm back there furiously taking notes and I had a cassette tape recorder sitting on the desk with me so that I could record what was being said so I could go home and play it that night and go over my notes, because I found that my notes that I was taking did not make sense when I got home after 5 to 8 hours of taking notes. I couldn't read my handwriting, and the things that were said that I thought I was making notes became cryptic, so I started taping them. Then I could read my notes and I could fill it in. We had a thoracic surgeon. This is the thorax, this part of the body, from the neck to the abdomen, and side to side, front to back, the thorax. A thoracic surgeon was talking to us about microbiology. He started talking about the skin, and he described how the skin cells are, and he goes all the way down into the intracellular level in the microorganisms of the body. He got all the way down to inside an individual cell, talking to us about how these things work and how they interact and all the different parts. And I can't name them to you at this point because it's been too many years ago. But as he got to that, all of a sudden, he stepped aside from the lectern. He got to the side and he said, I want to tell you, as doctors, we don't know. And this was his own words. I still remember to this day. We don't know why the body dies. Because every 7 years, every cell in your body is replaced by a new cell. Every 7 years, it's a new cell. He said, the only thing we can figure is that disease and stress and things that people go through emotionally, the body gets so tired that it just can't go on and it gives up. He said, your body was not designed to die. And I said, preach it. Of course, I didn't say it out loud. Look at me. My face was glowing. It's like, I can go back to Genesis chapter 3 where he says, these things will happen. And that's where we end up having diseases. Do you know what the word disease means in medical terminology? Something that is not correct. The body wants to be at ease. It's called homeostasis. It's a normal state. And if everything's at ease, everything's fine. If something gets out of whack, like your blood pressure starts going up, it starts causing other problems. Your sugar goes up and your body's not regulating it, other things start happening. That the word dis in the medical terminology means not. That's all that dis means, not. Not ease. Disease means you're not at ease. Something is not the way it was designed. And so that's all disease is. The enemy comes in and says, you've got this, you've got that. He puts this on you, he gives you this. You end up with doctor saying, you've got this, you've got that. It means that your body is not operating the way that it should. we go, oh my gosh, I've got a disease. And we act like that's the worst thing. Okay, how do I get back into it? If you'd seen me a couple years ago, you'd know that I've lost, in the last 2 years, about 87 pounds. I feel better. I look better. I have to be careful about what clothes I wear because I've got clothes from back then that I put on. It's like, whoop, these pants are too big. I got to take them off and put on other pants because these pants, no matter how much I cinch that belt, they're not going to stay. Because when you lose, what was it, 56 to down to, you lose that many inches, this looks like a balloon on you. But see, I was not at ease. I was diseased because that was an obese state. I did something about it, and now I feel so much better. Joints of my body work better. I have more energy. Things like that. So there's things with the natural processes of the body that God built into the body to take care of it. Think about if you got a cut and your body couldn't handle it and infection got in there and it spread throughout your body and you died because you got a paper cut. That would be a bad design. But God designed you to take care of any of those invaders as a natural healing process. You have a lymph system. You know, you go to the doctor and they feel your neck and they feel someone gets cancer and they go check, see, did it get in the lymph nodes? That is the like the sewer system for stormwater out here in the street where the stormwater goes in and it takes it away. That's so it doesn't stay there and pool, but it goes off where they can manage it out into a pond somewhere or up back into a creek or a river. So it doesn't pool here. It goes someplace where it can be managed. Well, the lymph system does that. When cells die, they're moved out of the body position into that lymph system, and it goes to where the body can get it out to eliminate it. So it's your rainwater drainage system. It moves everything through the body out to where it can get out of here without it having to go into the blood and making the blood sick and making it all gunked up and everything. It goes a different route. It doesn't block things up. So God designed this body. We're told that the body is fearfully and wonderfully made. When you get deep into it, you start going, it's like a little city in here. There's arteries, highways, there's roads, there's neural networks, all the wires and the interconnection of radio waves and things going on. There's all these different things going on just to make the body move, to make the body stand, to give you equilibrium, to have you balance. All of it designed to last forever. It's got defenses in it. Your skin is your biggest defense mechanism to keep invasion out. Even bacteria or things that get on your skin, you can wash it off and it never gets inside to where it affects the tissue. The body has natural defenses built in because God says you weren't supposed to die. And after Jesus comes back and we have the millennial reign, there will be people that will never die. They will live throughout eternity. We read it in the Word. Because death will have no sting anymore. Amen? And those people will be living in these kind of bodies. You say, why would I want to live in this kind of body for eternity? Well, we lived in it under disease, under the curse. They will live in it without disease, without the curse. They won't know what a sprained ankle is. They won't know what cancer's like. They won't know about having sugar in your feet, you know, diabetes. They won't know about having blood pressure so much that you got a headache. They won't know about that. See these things here? These glasses? I doubt they know what those are either. They'll say, what do you mean you had to put things on your ears and wear them on your nose? And aren't those uncomfortable? It was a whole lot less uncomfortable than running into the wall. Tripping down the stairs. See, God designed this body to be perfect. We know it in this corruptible state. But one of these days, we get to put on incorruption, don't we? You're looking forward to that day? Jesus comes back and we get a glorified body. We don't know what it'll be like, but we know when we see him, it'll be just like him. Amen. Amen. Jesus mandated healing should follow those who believed. I said Jesus mandated it. He didn't say this is a good suggestion. Let's go to Mark 16. Verses 17 and 18. In that we read, and these signs will follow those who believe. Who are the people that believe? Christians. You can't be a Christian without believing. Because you believe in your heart that God raised from the dead. You confess with your mouth. We know out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So you have to believe. You have to be a believer. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It doesn't say they might lay hands on the sick. There's a possibility they will recover. He says they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. We have a mandate to pray for the sick. And guess what? It's not you that heals them. He says, yeah. You do this, he will heal them. Amen. How many in this room have ever been healed by the Lord? Amen. Every hand, every hand. Those of you online that are listening to this, you can feel free to raise your hand too. You're in agreement. Amen. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is not talking about the gifts of healing under the baptism of the Holy Spirit and one of the gifts of the Spirit. This is the method of healing God prescribed for the church when sickness and disease attacks one of the body of the church. It's for every believer, filled with the Spirit or not. If you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Word says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Go ahead, pray for people that are sick. In his name, he says they'll be healed. We're also given direction on how healing should occur. If you go to James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, is anyone among you sick? So this is talking to a person that might be sick. Now, before I go any further, James, how many know who James was? Who was James? The half-brother of Christ. He was, Joseph and Mary was his mom and dad. We know that Jesus' mother was Mary and his father was God. So Joseph was his stepdad. But this was one of the younger brothers of Jesus. Grew up with him. James also became the pastor of Jerusalem after Christ rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. He became the pastor of Jerusalem. So his letter, his book of James, is written from a pastor's heart to the body of Christ, to the church, to the believers. He's got a lot of instruction in there. You want to see some interesting things? Read the book of James. But be ready, because he's talking straight to you from a pastor's heart. And you may go, oop, I didn't do that. Oop, I need to take care of this. But he said, is anyone among you sick? Doesn't that sound like an altar call? That's where it came from. That's his heart. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call. If you're sick and you walk in someplace that the Spirit's moving like it was tonight, and you walk out sick, it's because you didn't ask. It says, let him who is sick call for the elders of the church. So the person that's sick, or their family, if the person's too sick, they need to place the call. Hey, I need prayer. We have plenty of times people put on Facebook, got a prayer request, or give us a call. Hey, I need someone to pray for me. Or come up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need one to anoint me with oil. We'll read further. It says, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Well, this person was coming to be healed. It doesn't say heal the sick. It says save the sick. Sozo. Salvation, healing, deliverance, preservation. Save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Some sicknesses is because they went and committed sin. Other times, this doesn't say that the person calling for the elders of the church has to be a saved person before they called. But what's it say after they get prayed for? Their sins will be forgiven. Amen? Because they've got to believe as well. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Remember? These are for every believer. How many of you have oil in your house? Maybe oil in your car or in your purse to pray for the sick. Someone in your family says, oh, I've got this. Can I pray for you? Do you want prayer? And if they say no, that's fine. They're keeping their disease. But if they say yes, just a second, let me get the oil. We've got oil right here. I've got oil in my pocket. For that very reason, to be able to follow the scriptural mandate of anointing them with oil. So these gifts are for every believer. The gifts of healings are different in that they are not for every believer. Gifts of healings are a special gift poured out by the Holy Spirit. As we said before, each of the gifts are for a special purpose, for a special mission, for a specific time, through a specific person. And when that gift is poured out, what God purposed it to do, it will happen. It's not going to be a maybe. Like we talked about gift of faith, a person that God pours the gift of faith into can't doubt. Doubt is not there because it's faith directly from God. It's more different than the measure of faith we all have just to believe in Christ. Some names of the people that operated in the gifts of faith are people like A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, Catherine Kuhlman. These are some pictures from some of their crusades. Okay? Oral Roberts. This is a small snippet of something about his ministry. Not the whole thing. I just want to touch a few highlights. 1947 was a turning point for him. Up until that time, Roberts struggled as a part-time preacher in Oklahoma. But at the age of 29, Roberts picked up the Bible, and it fell open to the third epistle of John, where the verse reads, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Amen. Roberts resigned his pastoral ministry with the Pentecostal Holiness Church and founded Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association. He conducted evangelistic and faith healing crusades across the United States and around the world. Thousands of sick people waited in line to stand before Oral Roberts so he could pray for them. Through the years, he conducted more than 300 crusades on six continents. And many people received their healing under that ministry. Catherine Kuhlman. Many accounts of healings were published in her books. An estimated 2 million people reported they were healed in her meetings over the years. An estimated 2 million people. That's a lot of people. Do you know that the population of this city of Kansas City is less than 2 million people, and that's all of the suburbs? That's Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, the whole metro area. That would be more people than live within the metro area of this city.